Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at the MTS Center. We welcome you to the Legal Curve post-game podcast. Live from the MTS Center press box, I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined up here by Michael Remus, usual producer, now analyst for tonight's post-game podcast. Winnipeg Jets defeated by the Chicago Blackhawks by a 5-1 margin here this afternoon. And really, you know, for the first 20 minutes of the game, it was a close game. It was an entertaining game for the first 20 minutes. But for the final 40 minutes, you got to see it was an aspirational dream for the Winnipeg Jets in that they got to see what they should be aspiring to be in the form of the Chicago Blackhawks, who absolutely came out and dominated the final 40 minutes of this game, turning what was a 1-1 tie after 20 minutes into a 5-1 laugher. Michael, you know, there's a lot of ties that bind between this Winnipeg Jets organization and the organization of the Chicago Blackhawks. We talked about it this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You know, Dustin Byfuglien and Andrew Ladd, Michael Frolik, Kevin Cheveldayoff, etc., etc., etc. Jonathan Toews returning to Winnipeg. There's just a lot of parallels between the two organizations in terms of personnel. But in terms of on-ice performance, there are no parallels between the Winnipeg Jets and the Chicago Blackhawks.
No, absolutely right. And I mean, these guys are the Stanley Cup champions, the best team in the National Hockey League last season. And, you know, most of the team is intact, you know, except for a few players like a Frolik and David Bowling coming in here today. But their defense is all the same. And the key forwards, again, are all the same. And this was a game where the Winnipeg Jets could play against the best team in the league and see how they stack up and see, you know, what the benchmark is to be and where they strive for. And you're right, for the first period, it was a great period of hockey. It was back and forth. The Jets got out to the lead, which they, you know, first, which yeah. They've had trouble doing this season. But as the game went on, you know, their defense, you had Ben Chiarot playing in his first game and Adam Party, you know, for the Stewart, Postma, and Trouba, who were all injured. And, you know, their whole team got exposed, and the Blackhawks were able to take advantage and put 5 on the board.
Absolutely. You mentioned that the Jets opened the scoring for the first time in a number of games, and that came at the 5:08 mark of the first period. Toby Enstrom, after a really good forecheck by Matt Hauschuk along the boards, you know, a good effort to free the puck, he brings it back to Enstrom at the point. Enstrom steps into a shot, and when he releases it, which doesn't happen all the time, when he releases it, he's got a decent little shot on him, and it was a good shot. It was a hard shot. There was a lot of traffic in front of Corey Crawford, and the puck beat Corey Crawford clean. The Jets jumped out to a 1-0 lead, and you know, all was well for a brief period of time here at the MTS Center.
Yeah, you don't see that too often where the Jets have a big screen in front of the goalie and he can't see the puck. And a great shot by Enstrom. I thought Matt Hauschuk had a great game for the Jets. I mean, I think the third and fourth lines, I think, were very good. But when those lines are your best lines,
I think it's all relative. I don't think anybody was very good today. I thought Matt Hauschuk was good in that first period, and the forecheck was good on that play. I mean, that's why you want Matt Hauschuk on your team, is to be a voracious forechecker. And it paid off on that goal. He went in there and he did the dirty work and he worked the puck along the boards and he dug it loose and he got it to Enstrom. You know, can't argue with Matt Hauschuk's effort on that play, and you can't argue with the result with Toby Enstrom putting it past Corey Crawford.
Fair enough.
Didn't take long, unfortunately, for the Jets, for the Blackhawks to tie it up. It came just at the conclusion of a power play. They made it 1-1. Nicholas Chalmerson with the goal. A big shot from the point. Marcus Kruger wins the faceoff clean. I'm not sure if he beat Brian Little or if he beat James Wright on the faceoff. He beat one of them just as a power play for the Blackhawks expired. And then Kruger with a clean draw went to Chalmerson, who stepped into one just with an absolute laser beam.
Yeah, holy crap.
It was just a tremendous shot. Beats Andre Pavlik, and it's 1-1. Sort of at the end of an interesting sequence where the Jets had a power play. And then the Jets' power play only lasted mere seconds after Dustin Byfuglien took a hooking penalty in his own zone. And then, so it was 4-on-4 action, and then Andrew Ladd took a penalty, so you had the rare non-overtime 4-on-3 power play. briefly turned into a 5-on-3 power play for the Blackhawks. Jets killed that off, and officially it's not a power play goal for Chalmerson, but it just comes just at the conclusion of Andrew Ladd's penalty, 1-1 at that point in time, and that's how the first period ended at the 1-1
score. Right, and I'll tell you, I like when these great teams like the Blackhawks come into Winnipeg, because you get to see what their power play looks like, and that's when, you know, the skill of their team really gets to shine with the man advantage. I mean, with the Jets, we're used to this power play, it's sloppy, they can't get possession, they can't pass the puck around. You saw when the Blackhawks would enter the zone, they would get, you know, to about the top of the circle and the faceoff dot in the offensive zone. They drop it back to the D. You got Kane on, you know, Kane and Sharp are the shooters, and they really were just able to work it around. It's remarkable that they didn't score in that power play in the first period. But as you said, they win the draw. That was a major laser beam by Nicholas Jalmerson.
That sequence in the first period, that sequence of penalties, sort of back to back to back in a rapid fire motion, were the only penalties in the entire game. So people, you know, lamenting the Winnipeg Jets power play today really didn't get a chance to lament it too bad. They probably had about 10 seconds of power play time in the entire game, as very rare for this day and age in the NHL for the Blackhawks to only take one penalty, the Jets only to take two penalties, and all of those penalties to happen probably within about 35 seconds of one another. So, you know, there was no special, there's no, at least if you want to look at a silver lining of today's game, you can't be woeful about the Jets power play today. It just didn't exist throughout the entire game.
Right, and the Jets, I mean, the Klitson penalty was a penalty shot, so they didn't
right.
serve any.
Sorry,
they
there were was never, that one, I forgot about
They weren't
that.
Shorthanded for that.
That's right, there was a penalty shot late in the game by Patrick Kane. He beat Al Montoya, who had come in to the game at that point in time, replacing Andre Pavlik. He beats Montoya, but he doesn't beat the crossbar or the goalpost, and it bounces out, so no damage done on the penalty shot, but you're right, that would have been another power play opportunity for the
right.
Chicago Blackhawks. Anyways, it's 1-1 after 20 minutes. People are pleased. The Jets have been skating with the Blackhawks. And even to start the second period, the Jets came out in the first minute and had some good pressure and had some okay chances on
yeah.
Corey Crawford. Couldn't get anything past Crawford. The Blackhawks come down the other way at the 54-second mark of the second period, and it's Brandon Bolig with the goal. A second assist goes to Marcus Kruger. What happens on that one is it's a bad pinch by Adam Party at the offensive blue line. Kruger chips it up to Bolig. Bolig comes in on a 2-on-1 against, I'm not sure who the other defenseman was. It probably would have been Ben Chiarot. Chooses not to pass, shoots the puck, and he beats Andre Pavlik what sort of looked like a short side goal.
Right, and what I thought in that play was that Pavlik was kind of cheating. He was expecting a pass. Bullock's not really known as a sniper, and I think when you have those two-on-ones, you want to have the communication and the trust between the goalie and the defenseman, that the defenseman is going to take away the pass if there is.
You're a defenseman in rec hockey. You know what the defenseman's job is. It's to take away the pass.
I mean, I play pretty low-level rec hockey. I mean, nothing like what these guys play, but the goalie's responsibility is for the shooter, and you're not supposed to let the shooter score, and the defense is supposed to make sure that if there is a pass, that he blocks it off, and it just seemed like a very poorly played 2-on-1 to me.
Well, it was Pavlik was guessing, and he guessed wrong,
right.
And you don't want him guessing in that situation.
Yeah.
You know, you want him taking his responsibility and staying square to the shooter and you know, taking away the shooter's best opportunities. He doesn't. He cheats. He gets caught, and it's 2-1 Chicago. Doesn't take them long to further capitalize. Less than 2 minutes later, at the 2:41 mark of the second period, Patrick Sharp gets the goal, assists to Marian Hossa and Nick Leddy. Turnover. The Jets are coming into the Chicago Blackhawks zone.
I think it was Ladd, maybe?
I'm not 100% sure, so I don't want to assign blame. They turn the puck over at the Hawks' blue line. Marian Hossa hits Patrick Sharp, who has snuck behind the Jets' defense. Sharp is in on a breakaway. He dekes Andre Pavlik. I mean, you know, Patrick Sharp's a hell of a player. Dekes Andre Pavlik and puts it into the empty net. You know, can't really lay blame on the goaltender for that instance. You just can't afford turnovers against the Chicago Blackhawks, given how great their transition game is. It was a blink of an eye. It was a turnover, and it was in the net Jets goal before you could react.
And the next thing you know, it's a 3-1 lead. And you, I mean, there's a few times where, you know, the defense would pinch and they would get caught, and there were so many odd man rushes. I mean, if you're the Jets, you have to play such precise, mistake-free, perfect hockey.
Well, that's what I tweeted during the game, is that the Jets' margin for error is against a team like Chicago is pretty much nil.
Even against any team.
Yeah, against any team. But
especially against Chicago.
Chicago. Yes. I mean, once Chicago takes a stranglehold on you, once Chicago takes a 3-1 lead on you, they're not giving up that lead. They're not afraid of the Winnipeg Jets by any stretch of the imagination. It's child's play at that point in time. And that's, you know, that's how it ended, obviously, with the 5-1 score. But the Jets' margin of error is so minute that they can't have any, you know, you can't have an inappropriate turnover. You can't have a guy pinching when he shouldn't be. It's that hard for the Jets, the Winnipeg Jets, given their roster, to be able to defeat the Chicago Blackhawks. And obviously they didn't tonight. The Blackhawks weren't done at the 5:49 mark. So this is 3 goals within the first 6 minutes of the second period. Right. They make it 4-1. Nick Leddy, with the shot from the point, Andrew Shaw and Jeremy Marin with the assists on that one. It was the Harlem Globetrotters against the Washington Generals. Ooh. In the jet zone on that play. The Blackhawks just played keep away. And keep in mind, this isn't the Blackhawks top line playing keep away. This is, you know, good players, but not, you know, not Hossa, Taves, and Patrick Sharp or Patrick Kane. You know, the Blackhawks play keep away from the Jets. The puck comes to Nick Leddy at the point. Screen on Andre Pavlik, beats him with the shot. That's the end of Andre Pavlik's night. He's down 4-1, voices his displeasure by firing the puck down the end of the length of the ice after the goal. I mean, if it wasn't finished at 3-1, at 4-1 it was definitely finished.
Yeah, I think the game was over at that point. And
unfortunately, there was another 35 minutes to play.
A bit of a mercy pull. I think Pavlik got a piece of that one, and you'd like to see him get the whole thing. But yeah, I think you got it. If you're going to play him on Monday, get him out at that point, because the game is done. You don't want to, you know, him to get more goals scored on him.
Right, and then the Blackhawks, I mean, it was 4-1 at that point. The Jets didn't, you know, I mean, not to say that they didn't show much fight, because I'm sure they had some chances on Corey Crawford.
When they did have chances, Corey Crawford was very good. Corey and made Crawford. All the saves. I don't think he had to make anything spectacular, but there were, you know, a bunch of plays where they would be banging around the puck in the crease or, you know, right in the slot, and they just couldn't put it past
him. Yeah, Corey Crawford was very sound. Very technically sound, always big in the net, always square to the shooter. You know, certainly he played a very good game. I can see why he'd be in consideration for Team Canada. Nothing wrong with his game. Not that the Jets made it that easy or that hard on him, but they had a couple scoring chances, like you said, where they were mucking in front of the net. And
they had a couple, but when Evander Kane comes in and takes a slap shot 2 feet inside the blue line, that's not exactly a recipe for scoring.
No, of course not. I mean, you know, there's just a good team frustrating a bad team, and you know that's really what you saw tonight, is that this is what the Jets need to aspire to. The question is, though, do the Jets have the talent on the roster where they can become, or they can play against, or they can be competitive against a team like the Chicago Blackhawks, a team like the Detroit Red Wings we're going to see on Monday night, the upper echelon of talent here in the NHL? I don't see it at this point in time.
No, I mean, you definitely saw the talent difference between, you know, Patrick Kane, who's probably miles ahead, or him and Marian Hossa and Jonathan Taves, miles ahead of anyone on the Jets roster. And, and the Blackhawks, they play like a team. They're focused. They have the same goal. And if you look at the Jets and their game, the style of game they play, it seems they don't have that team style.
They don't have the talent level. I mean, at some point in time, you know, you can talk about the style of play, or you can talk about everything else. The Chicago Blackhawks are just that much more talented than the Winnipeg Jets are. And at some point in time, you know, effort and everything only goes so far, but talent wins out. And the Blackhawks are just, I tweeted out in the course of the game, you know, if you want to look for a silver lining in this game, is that it is a pleasure to watch the Chicago Blackhawks play hockey.
Oh, I was very excited for the Patrick Kane penalty shot, just to see, you know, the type of – I mean, the penalty shot is a, you know, a mini-game.
Yeah, it's gimmicky, but
– it's gimmicky, but, I mean, you get to see that kind of skill level.
The passing and the chemistry and the intuition and the knowledge that the Blackhawks have of one another, that their players are going to be in the right area at the right time and make the right play, is just tremendous. Yep. And it's something that – I mean, you know, the Winnipeg Jets don't have it, but the majority of the teams in the NHL don't have it.
Right, I would agree. And you can talk about, you know, how the Jets stack up on paper as much as you want, but it was almost like a science experiment comparing the Jets now and to where they want to be.
Yeah, you can take the video of this game and you can show it to the players and you can say, this is what we need to be. One day, you know, I don't know if it's going to happen or when it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen with the majority of the current players that they have on their roster. But one day, this is what we need to be when we're when we want to be competitive for the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks scored a fifth goal in the third period. It was Ben Smith from Brandon Bolig and Duncan Keith. It was just no real point to it. Yeah. It just made it 5-1. No sense in really analyzing it too deeply. But you know what we saw here tonight was a tremendous hockey team playing against an average hockey team, and the tremendous hockey team won out. Jets are next in action Monday night against another tremendous hockey team, the Detroit Red Wings. So we'll see how they're able to bounce back in that effort. Until then, we encourage you to check out IllegalCurve.com for all your Winnipeg Jets news. You can follow us on Twitter at IllegalCurve, Facebook.com/IllegalCurve is our Facebook page, and we thank you for listening to the Illegal Curve postgame podcast. For Michael Remus, I'm Drew Mandel. We'll see you on Monday night.